We're in a series on focus. Everyone say focus. Today I want to talk about focus and keeping it. I want to talk to you about having a focus, but then having the ability to be able to keep your focus, because when we get distracted, and someone even came up to me this morning and said that they felt like they had a word for me today, that they emailed me this week about distractions. And Hazel, you didn't know it, but that's my message today, is this distractions. And the fact that when we get distracted, we lose focus. Now, an event happened earlier in this week. It may surprise you, but Pastor Hartley went fishing this week. I know that's a shock. I know that's an absolute shock to many of you that I went fishing this week. And as I was going fishing, I got stopped on the dam, because a car driver had lost focus and fell into the lake. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I knew the water was cold there, 44 degrees. And you can imagine, I just praying, Lord, I sure hope there was not anybody in the children in the back seat or anyone else that had to get out of that car. Because this road going across this dam is about as wide as these chairs right here, I guess, all about this section of road, a little bit with the pave and then some dirt on either side. And if you go off on this side, you go down a slope about 25, 30 feet. Danger, danger, right. But if you go off on this side, then you go 8 feet down into the lake. And apparently something happened to this driver, and they lost their focus, and they got distracted, and next thing you know, and how many of you have ever found yourself doing before, something falls on the floorboard, and you reach down, or you look over to change the station, and you do something, and you take your focus off the road. You take your focus off the path that you're supposed to be on. And all of a sudden, now you are in dire straits. And this happened to this person. And as I saw this, it just shocked me. I mean, it stuck with me. And we went to small groups Wednesday night, and I had to talk to the kids. Proverbs chapter 1, children, listen to the instruction of your dad and to the laws of your mom. Let them be an ornament around your neck. Let them guide you on the pathway to keep you safe. I mean, is this just something, as simple event as somebody falling into the lake with their car, just really grabbed my heart this week. And I began to think about, what does it mean for us as believers to have focus and to lose the focus? And the Lord took me into Scripture to the greatest, or the wisest man in the Bible next to Jesus, Solomon. So let's go there. We're gonna several scriptures, but I'm going to start off this morning. I want to start from 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're just going to hit a lot of verses this morning. And I want to start at the words that Dad gave to Solomon. David's last dying words that he's going to give to his son. That is going to set the path that Solomon, and I believe you and I, are to walk on. 1 Kings chapter 2. And when David's time to die was near, he told his son Solomon, I am going the way of all the earth. And here's the instructions. So be strong. Show yourself to be a man. Because this is what real men do. Do what the Lord your God tells you. Walk in His ways. Everyone say, walk in His ways. Okay, when he says walk in His ways, I want you to envision a path, a pathway that is God's way. Now, here's what we know according to the New Testament. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many going on that path. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So when he says to Solomon, when David says to Solomon, walk in his ways, walk in God's designed ways, walk in his pathway that he has for you. God has a pathway for every person listening to me today. Amen. It's a pathway for you. And it's written down, and according to Scripture, we talked about this a few weeks ago, it's written down in a book. I don't know if it's in the Lamb's Book of Life or there's another book, but it says, every day of my life has been ordered by the Lord. I have a pathway that I'm to walk and that you're to walk. Be strong, show yourself, do what the Lord tells you, walk in his ways, keep all his laws and his word, by what is written in the law of Moses, then, if you do these simple things, if you walk in this way, if you listen to God, you keep his commandments, then you will do well in everything that you do and every place that you go. Wow. That promise, I realize he's talking to his son, but can I encourage you today, church? When we walk in his pathways, every place we go, it will go well with us. Everything that we do, we will do with God's grace and with God's strength, and he's going to be with us. And so I really believe as David now, what's kind of sad is you read the next few verses, and David says some very horrible things to his son, Solomon. He has some death threats he wants him to follow out, carry out for David. Which you're going, I can't believe, David, you're doing this. But Solomon takes these words, and I believe when David says unto him, Solomon's heart is truly impacted by them. How do we know this? 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Boy, I love to hear the Bible pages turning. That just blesses my heart as a pastor to hear Bible pages flipping. Solomon, you're now the king. You now the man. So what are you going to do now that you are the king? And in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the meeting, and there he offered 1,000. Everyone say 1,000. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. He went to worship the Lord. And his worship was so extravagant that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. I don't think we realize this because we're not in the habit of offering. Well, you may have had some burnt offerings last night that your wife cooked and overcooked or something. But for the most part, we're not used to having burnt offerings. He offered 1,000 bulls. As an offering. Do you know how long it takes to cook up 1,000 bulls? Have you thought about that lately? What type of offering that was to the Lord? Let's just say the priests were working on an 40-hour week. Several years it took to make this offering. You don't just throw 1,000 offerings down, and it happens overnight. At the least, let's say they had 4 or 5 or 6 pits going all at one time. I don't know. It still took several weeks or months. And the Lord comes to him. And on that night when they got done offering them, or as they began to offer them, Solomon, God says, what do you want me to give you? I receive your offering, and it's touched my heart. And as a result, I want to bless you. How many of you know this morning, you can't bless God without him return blessing you? He does. As we bless him, the more we bless him, the more he blesses you. The more you take your scoop out and give it to God, the bigger scoop he gets and gives it back to you. That's a principle of the kingdom. I don't give to get, but I'm telling you what, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God with your offerings. You cannot get out of God with your giving him your talents, giving him your gifts. Whatever you do, he's going to bless you in return. Amen? Amen? It's the truth this morning. And so God says, what do you want me to do to you? And Solomon said to God, you've shown great mercy to David, my father, and you've made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people that are like the dust of the earth in the multitude. And here's what he asked for. Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. That I may go out and come in. You see, this was the secret for all leaders. They needed to know how to go out to lead the people to warfare, but they also needed how to know how to come in into the presence of God. Lord, give me knowledge and wisdom so that I may know how to go out and to come in. And of course, God is very impressed by his answer. And he says, because you didn't ask for riches or wealth or long life or protection from your enemies, I'm going to give you all of those along with wisdom. And you, there will be no other man before you or any after you. You will be the man. And Solomon began to rule in the kingdom, and all was well. Until he got too comfortable. He began to get Americanized. He began to lose his focus. How did he start it off with? He started off coming before the Lord and offering sacrifices and asking him for knowledge and wisdom, asking him, Lord, I need to be able to know how to come into your presence. We need to know, church, how to be able to come into his presence. Now, the good news is we have some things in the scripture that tell us how to come into his presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And we've got to allow this worship to be bubbling up in us like a spring, just overflowing all the time. And as we continue to offer up the sacrifice, the psalmist said, sometimes, Lord, I just have to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Because in my heart, I don't feel like worshiping today. But I know I need to. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He understood how important this was. But as the kingdom began to go along, and the more that God began to bless him, because he becomes the most blessed man in the world, the more God blesses Solomon, the more Solomon begins to lose his focus. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes it out for us. He made himself, and again, listen to these verses and ask yourself where his focus is. I'm going to start reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. And I made my great works. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruits and trees in them. I made myself swimming pools. I made myself and acquired myself male and female servants. Yes, I had greater possession of herds and flocks than anyone who was in Jerusalem before me. I gathered myself silver and gold. As a matter of fact, Scripture goes on to say, when it talks about silver and gold, it says that Solomon accumulated enormous quantities of gold, and his kingdom had so much silver that it was counted as common as rocks. How many want some of those rocks for your garden? The silver was so abundant, the gold was so abundant that the silver was counted as common as rocks. And so I became great, and I excelled more than all those who were before me in Jerusalem, and yet my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. What happened to his focus? He got distracted, didn't he? I can't imagine. And then every time I come in and read this passage, I'm like, what would it be like that anything you snapped your fingers and wanted, you could have? Because you had that much power and you had that much money and resources. Whatever you wanted, anytime, anywhere, snap your fingers and you could have it. And yet, as he went through this and went through this and went through this, and he realizes, oh, by the way, it was all vanity. It was all smoke and mirrors. It was all stuff. Everyone say stuff. And isn't that the American way? Let's get some more stuff. And you'll get some stuff, and I'll get some stuff. And then when we get tired of our stuff, we'll have a garage sale and sell our stuff to someone else. And they'll be glad to take your stuff. And if I need more stuff, I'll build a bigger barn. And I'll get a bigger shed to store my stuff. And do you hear the scripture saying, oh, fool. Oh, fool. This night. Your life is required of you, and all that stuff and all those barns you built to get bigger and more and to be greater than any other Jones on the street. You're not going to be able to take it with you. Now, here's a question I want us to ask this morning. As Solomon's going through this, and again, the hand of God is on Solomon greatly. Those resources, it's all because of the way that Solomon's focus was towards God at the very beginning. Did he realize he was slipping down the slope? Did he realize he is starting to get off the path or not? Or does he say, I still have it all under control? Again, my wisdom remains with me. Do you see something going on there? He's still like, yeah, all this is happening, but I still got my wisdom. I'm still as wise as ever. Or he's saying, you know what? I'm getting away with it. Nothing has happened yet. And we say that, don't we? We're getting away with it and nothing's happened. Nothing bad's happened yet. And you have to understand these distractions. They come in so many different ways that cause us to lose our focus. Because again, as I saw that car going off the road into the, I didn't see it going into the lake, but as I drove by and I looked down and there's the car in the lake. As I drove back over the dam, an awareness came over me. That could be me that gets distracted. That could be me that falls off the pathway to destruction. That could be me who makes a mistake, who takes my eyes off of what I'm supposed to be focused on and causes me to stumble and fall. And when I stumble and fall, it causes me to fall into the pit. See, Solomon was listening to all types of voices, wasn't he? 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, 2 Kings 4:4, now when it came about when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart away from God, and his heart was not wholly focused to the Lord his God as the heart of his father had been. See, all these foreign kings' daughters, he took. What are you going to do with 700 wives? Come on, I'm doing good with just one. That's all I need. It's all I can handle is one. And Solomon, you want 700? Oh, and by the way, that doesn't count 300 girlfriends. On top of 700 wives, 300. You know how hard it's sometimes to keep one happy, and now you're going to try. Listen, these wives, they turned his heart. They spoke into his life. Every time he went, he said, oh, can you not build me an altar for my God? Can you not do this for me? Come on, Solomon, why do you have to worship Jehovah God? There's lots of other gods out there that you need to acknowledge. And isn't the world speaking those same voices to us today? Come on. Why do you want to stay so focused and so narrow? You Christians are so narrow-minded. I hope we are. I hope we're narrow-minded. Thank you, Mr. Putin, for being able to say, you know what? we're not going to tolerate any homosexuality here in Russia. And I'm going to make a big deal out of it. Thank you for standing up for some values like that. I wish our president would stand up with values like that. Amen. I'm praying for him. I'm not putting him down today. I'm just saying, in my heart, I wish we would see a turn back to where we would understand that that type of lifestyle, the Bible calls it sin. And so when our redneck friend gets on the interview and he says, my Bible calls it sin, all he's doing is saying, I'm very narrow-minded when it comes to the way that the Lord says that I believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. And, of course, Phil just gets pounded for his belief. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Why don't you turn over, flip over there real quick. God has already foresaw. God has already seen in his wisdom that this type of power and this type of play is going to come to pass. And so all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, starting in verse 6, notice what God says, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6. But my leaders, my kings, shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord says, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall you multiply wives for yourself, lest your heart turn away. Lest your heart do what? Get unfocused. Get distracted from the true and living God. Don't multiply wives for yourself, lest your heart be turned away. Nor, verse 17, shall you greatly multiply silver and gold for yourself. These words, these were like prophetic words, weren't they? That God was writing down or having been given to the children of Israel to let them know. Danger, Will Robinson. Don't go this pathway seeking for yourself treasure, seeking for yourself these ladies. Verse 18, and this, as a pastor, I want you to know, this grasped my heart really strong this week. Verse 18, and it shall be when the king sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. That the only way, as leaders, we can stay focused is that if we write for ourselves a copy of this law in a journal, in a book, to remind, because there's something about writing it down yourself. And the Lord said, I know you love technology. I know you love control V and control C. Hello? I love control V. I love control C. But the Lord said, I want to encourage you to do less control V and control C, and I want you to do more writing of the law yourself. For the exact same reason that the priests needed it then. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful counsel that the Lord has given to us as leaders? That we write the law down ourselves so that we know it, that as you're writing it, you're being able to comprehend it, you're being able to think about it and to focus on the law. And the more that you focus on the law, you're going to be like the psalmist who's able to say, Lord, your word is hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as long as your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, I am more likely to stay on the pathway that you have for me and not go into the lake. Because again, I cannot imagine 44 degree water. We clean fish and my hands are just, I mean, is that all I can do after about 10 minutes of cleaning fish? Just my hands are hurting, finger, and I mean your whole body and everything, boosh, into the lake. It's a slippery slope. Sin is a slippery slope. And God knew it was going to be tough for leaders. Verse 19, and it shall be with the king or the leader that he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to be careful to observe all the words of this law and its statutes. Yeah, but that's Old Testament, Pastor Dave. You know that, don't you? It's Old Testament stuff. Well, I go to the New Testament. Here's what I read in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Because I really believe for most people, that's what it is. It's a drift. Did I not get that slide in, Hazel? There's two slides to the next one. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. That we give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away from us. And lest we drift away. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul is so concerned about slipping and drifting that he says these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest after I get done preaching to all these other folks, I myself should become disqualified. The Apostle Paul was worried about being disqualified from the race. Why? Because he didn't discipline himself. Because he didn't learn to stay focused on the God that he loved and focused on the pathway that was set before him. And if the Apostle Paul was worried about being disqualified, I'm thinking of all the people that don't have to worry about being disqualified. Paul, it's you. Everything that you've written, everything that you've done. Again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Because after all these things that I've done, and I preached the word of God and said all these things, at the very end, if I don't stay focused, there is a chance that I could become disqualified. Wow. And so, church, when we look over, we'll close this morning. The end of Solomon's life, 1 Kings chapter 11. Turn over there. 1 Kings chapter 11. And this is almost, it's almost really sad. I don't know about you, but as I begin to prepare and study, and the more I looked into Solomon's life, the more I really got discouraged. It's like, this is a tragic story of a great man, a great leader, a great king. The wisest man in the world couldn't stay focused long enough to finish the course. It's very sad. Because his desires, and isn't this the key today? It's desire. What gets your attention will eventually get you. His desire. And 1 Kings 11 goes through all the different things that he does. And finally, when we get to verse 9, after he lists 8 verses worth of stuff that his heart and his desires had ran after, finally, the Lord God became like Popeye. I took all I could stand. I can't stand no more. Solomon, I'm angry with you because your heart has been turned from the Lord God of Israel, who has appeared to you twice and has commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not focus, he should not be distracted by going after other gods, but that he should keep what the Lord God has commanded. Solomon, because of this, your kingdom is to be torn from you. Oh yeah, you're still going to be king, but it's just going to be a remnant, a small nothing of what I really had planned for you to rule and to reign in. I'm taking it away from you. So what's the key for us today? How do we stay focused? How do we stay on the path? Because again, I'm telling you, Don, every time I drove over that dam now, there's a new focus that's in my heart to go, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to end up in the lake. And I sure don't want to end up 25, 30 feet down on the other side down here in the rocks. Lord, thank you for protection. Thank you for focus. I gave you a verse last week, and I want to tie it in and stand with me this morning. I gave you a verse last week concerning Noah. But Noah found what? Grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what he needed to finish the task of building the ark. He needed some grace in his life. Can I tell you what we need in our life to stay on the pathway? Grace. Let us come, read it with me. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'm telling you what, we will get distracted. But when I get distracted, I know where I'm to go. I'm to come boldly before the throne of grace, because there waiting for me is not just judgment and not accusations. No, the heart of our Father is that when we get off the path and we find ourselves drifting, we find ourselves slipping, we call on the Lord our God and cry out saying, God, help me, save me. And that's where we will find mercy. That's getting what I don't deserve. And I find grace. That's getting. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. And there it is. That's how we stay on the path of righteousness. Amen. Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Yes.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my.
As much as I was shaken and stirred this week with this thought of slipping and falling off the pathway myself, I'm wondering today, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to your heart today at all? Is there maybe some area where you're finding yourself drifting, finding yourself slipping, and the Holy Spirit is warning you and encouraging you come back, to get back on the path? See, when I drive down that pathway, I don't want to see how close I can get to the edge. How close can you get to the kids would ask me in youth ministry, Pastor, how close can I get to the fire without being burned? How far can I go in my relationship with a girl or a boy without getting burned? How far? Where's the line go where you get burned? And a lot of people ask that question. And my response is, I don't want to know how close it is that I can get to the fire without being burned. I want to know how far can I stay away from the fire that will burn me? How close can I get to God? That's the question. So today for us today, has the Lord been stirring something in your heart? I know for me, when I read about the king is supposed to write down for himself the law in the book, that was for me saying, okay, no more cutting and pasting. I'm serious. Okay, I hear you, Lord. I'm to write. Now, I'm not going to write because Some people speak in tongues. I write in tongues. Of course, it would be... I'd be the only one reading it, but still, I'm going to make an effort. Lord, I'm going to be writing your word down. I'm not going to cut and paste. I'm going to write it down for myself, because that's what you said is wisdom for leaders to do. And I want to encourage all of you, and join me in this quest to rise to another level. Amen. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that you are so clear in your word to warn us. You gave us this life of Solomon, a great man, who began to slip and slip and slip until eventually you had to tear down part of his kingdom and take it away from him. God, I thank you that we don't have to go down that pathway of destruction. Father, I thank you that there's a pathway of life, a pathway of blessing that you have for us to walk. There's no guilt, there's no shame associated with us. It is just a pathway of greatness. It's a pathway of your love. It's a pathway of your light and your word in us. God, I thank you for every person hearing this even now, and those who hear it, Lord, on the internet or on CD. God, I thank you for these wonderful words today. Lord, now help us to apply them in Jesus' name. As she continues to play, I just want you to make a commitment. What is God calling you today? How are you supposed to respond to this word today? Because I believe every one of us can find somewhere to a place where we can respond to this word. What is the Holy Spirit just speaking to your heart? Allow him to just encourage you now in it. Father, I thank you. You said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit would say. Father, I thank you for that now. Ears to hear. Lord, as you're speaking to them, words of encouragement. Lord, they may be words of correction. They may be words of having us turn away from some things and turn more towards another direction. Lord, that's okay, because we're giving you complete control of our lives, our families, this church. Father, we thank you. Lord, our hearts are steadfast, fixed, and focused. Can you put Hazel, our opening scripture up for us? Slide number one. Psalms 108, read it with me. Let this be our declaration for this week. Oh God, my heart is steadfast, fixed, and focused, and I will sing and give praise even with my glory. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. May he fill your life this week with a focus to serve him and to worship him. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.